Please turn to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to read verses 19 through 23 together. Nehemiah chapter 4, we're going to read verses 19 through 23 together, and we will read this passage responsively. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 19 through 23. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place thereof ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that is, the night they may be a guard to us, and labor on the day. And let's finish on verse 23. Ready? So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. And let's pray. Now, Holy Spirit of God, I need you. I need you now more than ever. As I preach the word of God, it's greater than I. You are greater than I, and the truth is beyond all of us. Someday, we'll sit and hear you preach it to us the right way. But until then, I pray that you'd anoint me with your power to preach, anoint our people with your power to listen, so that we get a truth that could transform our lives tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in Nehemiah chapter 4 is, to me, one of the most amazing and interesting stories. The book of Nehemiah, and just look at me if you will. We've got some folks coming in. You've seen people walk in. It's fine. Come on in. Nope, you're fine. Everybody look at Ashley and not Joe. That way you don't get sick. I just embarrassed her, but not him. All right. God gave Nehemiah, to me, one of the most amazing jobs. If you'll listen to the first few minutes of this, I can help you with a lot of your Bible reading. The Jews had been slaves for 70 years. They had been taken over by Babylon. That's when Daniel and Meshach and Shadrach had been taken out of the land of Israel to Babylon. And a lot of the Old Testament is about that time leading up to the time during or the rebuilding just thereafter. Most of the Old Testament is written in reference to this 70-year period. You had the prophets, you had Isaiah, and you had Ezekiel, and you had Hosea and Joel saying, look, if you all don't repent, if you don't change, God's going to bring judgment. You say, why? Because for 490 years, the Jews did not observe the Sabbath. They didn't observe the Sabbath for almost 500 years. And God warned them all along that time that if they didn't change, if they didn't go back to what he said, that God was going to judge them. So he did. And he took one Sabbath for all 70 Sabbaths that they missed, and he judged them for a 70-year period. That's where you get that, all right? Now, they had been in slavery for 70 years. When the Babylonians came in, they went into Jerusalem and they leveled the wall all the way around Jerusalem. The Bible says that there was not one stone left built upon another. That would be like Hiroshima after we dropped the bomb in 1945. It was just leveled, nothing left standing. That is exactly what Jerusalem looked like. Not only that, it laid waste for 70 years. There was a remnant of people that lived in the rubble, but they didn't rebuild anything. They just lived in the caves and the holes and the basements and cleared out what they could to live in it. And that's all there was. Can you imagine God calling you to go back and rebuild the wall around Jerusalem after it sat there for 70 years in total degradation? That means, now this is 2015. We dropped the bomb on Hiroshima in 1945. That's 70 years. If we would have dropped that bomb and not gone into Hiroshima till this year to start rebuilding it, that's the job that awaited Nehemiah. And God said, before you build the houses, before you build anything else, I want you to rebuild the wall all the way around the city as a protection so that you can rebuild the city. He said, the first thing we've got to do is put that wall up and give you a safe haven, a safe place to be. So that's what his job was. And Nehemiah had an impossible job. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but the king from the 70-year period, there was more than just the Babylonians. You had the Medes and Persians, and you had Nebuchadnezzar and all them and all the different empires, five different empires that took them over. And on that last one, Nehemiah got funding, got permission from the king, and got the Jews released to leave the slavery and go back and build in Jerusalem. The amazing thing is they built the entire wall around Jerusalem in about 50 days. They worked day and night, day and night, day and night. It wasn't just a fence. It was a wall big enough to put four horses and chariots all the way across. It was a wall that was probably about half to two-thirds as wide as our auditorium here, all the way around the city. It was miles long. Not going to go into how all of that took place, but while they were doing it, the rest of the world, it's amazing, Israel has always been the hotspot of people hating, amen? They've always been hated. People have wanted to destroy them since God picked them as God's chosen people. And the enemy wanted Israel stopped. There was a man, if you read the book of Nehemiah, there were two men, Sanballat and Tobiah. They wanted to stop them. They tried to make a treaty with them to stop building and a false treaty. You say, what were they? They were politicians. Trying to get them they say, you don't have a building permit, amen? They tried to get them to stop. They wouldn't do it. People were trying to attack them. They literally had a sword at their side, and while they were troweling with one hand with mortar and things, they were fighting people with their sword with the other hand. They didn't stop the fight. They were troweling with one hand and sticking people in the gizzard with the other hand, amen? They just kept on going. And the Bible says that they didn't even take their clothes off except to wash them. And they had a group of people that would guard and rest while a group worked, and then they would switch places, and they would work 12-hour shifts round the clock for over 50 days, and they finally finished the wall. Now, I love the book of Nehemiah. It is an action-packed book. But the part of Nehemiah that I love is this. Nehemiah was up building. Sanballat and Tobiah sent word. He said, I'm not responding. He sent word again. They showed up and they said, come on down, let's have a meeting. He said, I am busy and this work's more important than meeting with you. I'm so busy, I'm not taking time for you. He said, the work is so great, I don't have time for this. I love that. He knew what was important in life. So many of us get sidetracked in what things we think are important instead of doing the work that's before us. Just because your phone rings doesn't mean you have to answer it. Everybody doing all right? Just because somebody says something doesn't mean you have to respond. Just because somebody wants something doesn't mean we have to give it. And I think we ought to give as we can, but I've had a lot of wants. I'm glad I didn't get, because to find out later, if I got what I wanted, I wouldn't want what I got. And so the opposition to Nehemiah was amazing. And he taught the people, look, don't come down just because somebody's attacking you. Stay there working and fight while you're working, but keep the work going. Now, there's a statement in this truth tonight that I want you to get. I want you to look at verse number 20. And I want, if you mark in your Bible, there's a statement here I want you to get. In what place thereof you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Watch this. Our God shall fight for us. Our God shall fight for us. You know, I am no match for the devil. I'm not. By the way, you're not either. Do you know that no human being could withstand Satan's full onslaught and attack? He is a greater being than any human being. He was only below power to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, according to Scripture, he's more powerful than the other archangels, because it took both of the archangels, while Gabriel was supposed to be bringing a prayer answered, and Michael had to go rescue him. Michael was bringing it. Gabriel had to go rescue him and help him defeat the devil to get the message through. Lucifer was more powerful than Gabriel and Michael. Now think through that one for a second. What chance do you have against him? And I'm going to make a statement here. Don't get mad at me. We've all used these statements. But when we face a little flat tire or negative words, or we got the flu, or we got the virus, it's not the devil attacking us. He's not going to put himself up to such petty deeds. We think we're fighting the devil because we had a flat tire. No, you ran over a nail. Well, the devil put it there. I don't think he was that petty as to throw a nail just in your route just so you got a flat tire. My wife remembers this. When we were in Indiana, I got 3 flat tires in the same day. I'm not kidding. I got one when we got to church. I changed it. I had to take a preacher to the airport. So, on my way to the airport, my spare was on, and I hit something 1.5 miles from the airport, and I drove to the airport on a rim. I had to have somebody in church come tow my car. When they were towing it back, they hit something and got a 3rd flat tire. I had 3 flat tires in one day. That was a record that I do not wish to break. Now, wait a minute. You say, was that the devil? No, that's just bad luck. Now, we're no match for the devil. Look what God allowed the devil to do to Job. He lost all of his businesses, 3 different or 4 different businesses basically in one day. He lost 10 children. He lost all of his employees, but about 3 or 4. And he lost his health. He lost the loyalty of his wife, and God was withholding the devil. God restrained the devil. I know some of you, I know most of you, and I know a lot about you. Nobody in here has had that kind of attack. Nobody. I haven't. Tonight, I want to show you and give you a glimpse of a truth that I think will help you as it has helped me all these years. I'm excited. I'm about as wound up as I have ever been about the work of God. I'm not up here doing this because I'm nervous. It's not because I drank too much water. I'm just excited. I didn't know how else to say that and be somewhat appropriate. Can I tell you something? Somebody recently said, "Preacher, what if you had to pick an era of life to live in, what would it be?" I said, "Right now." God chose me to be here right now for a reason. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else at any other time. I am glad I am here right now for such a time as this. And I'm excited about what's going on. You say, "Well, it's getting a little tougher out there." Oh, I'm so sorry. You got to read about J. Frank Norris sometime. J. Frank Norris took on the Southern Baptist Convention. He took on the Baylor University. He took on the mafia, and he took on the government. He had people burning his house down with his wife and his mother-in-law in it, and they barely escaped with their life. They set his church on fire and told everybody that he set it on fire so he could collect the insurance money. He had to go to court over it, ended up winning the battle. he had somebody break into his office that was trying to kill him, and he had gotten word that they were coming. He actually had to pull a gun out of his desk, and he pulled the trigger before the guy that was trying to shoot him did. Now, you think you got it tough. I don't think it's any tougher now than it was then, just so you know. Don't worry, you don't have one on my desk nor on me. But let me say this. I'm excited about the work of God. I'm excited about what God's doing here in our area. Now, I say that to say this. This truth is what's gotten me through all these years in the ministry. This truth is what keeps me going. And I really believe this is a truth that will revolutionize your life. I can't tell you I've always done it the right way, though. I can't tell you that it was always my first reaction. I'm trying to make it that way more and more. But I'm like you. I have those days that it doesn't quite work out that way. But I know this. Every time I've used it, it works. Every time I've used it, it works. Now listen to this, and then I'll get to the nuts and bolts of it. We do not win when we fight the devil. You will not win when you try to fight the devil yourself. Job did not fight the devil. Job was no match for the devil. But watch this. Job came out on top. And I'm going to show you how he came out on top. Nehemiah didn't fight the opposition. Now listen to this. Come on up here, Joe. Let me see here. Asa, come on up here. Get up here. Asa, come on up here. If we were going to have a boxing match, and we're not, don't worry.
You probably win.
Yeah, my money's on Asa. Asa has a better chance of beating up the old cow farmer than you do the devil. You trying to whip up on the devil, about like Asa trying to whoop up on Brother Joe. Amen? You can both have a seat. Aren't you glad I didn't have a boxing match? Brother Joe's really glad. He didn't want to get whooped. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? You say, that's impossible, preacher. He's too little. He's too weak. I'm not talking about Asa. I'm talking about Joe. Can I tell you something? You're too little and you're too weak to fight the devil and win. You are. You are no match for the devil. I've had to realize through some pretty humbling experiences, I'm not as strong as I thought I was. I'm not as tough as I think I am. And as much as I get up and preach, bless God, when the devil fights, we're going to do it, but if you'll notice, when I say when the devil fights, I don't say we're going to fight him. I say, let's do this. And I'm going to show you what we're going to do. I want to show you how to battle the devil by not battling the devil. Decided a long time ago, and I just reaffirmed it, I am not fighting the devil anymore. Say why? Because my Bible says our God shall fight for us. God can whoop up on him. I can't. Brother Gus, I'm going to let God do the whooping. I'm just going to do the following. Amen? Now, I do hope that before God throws him in to hell forever, we all get a shot. God holds him. We get to kick him, bite him, punch him, whatever you want to do one time. I hope that's true. Don't know that it will be, but in my flesh, I hope so. I've taken enough shots. I'd like to give one for eternity. Amen? Now, wait a minute. Let me show you how we don't have to fight the devil and how we let God fight for us. Point number one. When I stop to fight the devil, that's my problem. I have to stop to fight the devil. This morning's Sunday school lesson, Psalm 1. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Wow. For me to battle the devil means this: I have to stop doing the work God gave me to do to start fighting the devil. I start into an area of disobedience to God by entering into the battle with the devil. The devil's trying to sidetrack me. And by the way, the devil's filthy. The devil's nasty. The devil's evil. The devil is depressing. The devil is lying. The devil is all those things. And when you stop and fight with a pig, you're going to smell like a pig. If you stop and fight in the mud, you're going to get muddy. You stop and fight something that's depressing, you're going to get depressed. Why do we stop? Let's just keep going. See, it's our job to not fight the devil. It's our job to obey God. See, if we stop to fight him, we get all his mess all over us. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, if you don't want to smell like a skunk, don't tangle with one. About a week or so ago, they had a little three-day gun hunt for doe here in West Virginia. I decided I was going to go out real early one morning, spend about an hour, see if I could plug something. I know the farm pretty well. I don't even take a flashlight with me in the mornings. I just don't. I got my cell phone on. If I need something, I just flip it on, and I'm done. I walked out there. I got through the first gate, walked all the way across the pasture, opened up the second gate, got my gun up against the fence, closed the second gate, was locking it up, picked up my gun, and something was walking. And I'm not kidding. I was as close as I am to the first row right here, and I saw something white moving. It was a white skunk. And I'm 6-7 feet away from it. You say, what did you do? Picked up my gun and I walked around him, amen? You say, why? I've tangled around some of those and I didn't want to tangle at that hour of the morning. I had no desire to smell like he smelled. You say, how did you know it was a skunk? Because it was dark. You can smell them. That thing had been there the whole time I'm fiddling with that fence. Scared the bejeebers out of me. I walked a little farther. Did you ever walk through tall grass in the dark? And I mean, it's dark, dark. And all of a sudden, a bird flies up and hits you on the way out. It has a way of unnerving you a little bit. And when you got a weapon in your hand, you want to start just, you know. You don't do it, but it sure makes you want to. It has a way of putting a little fear in you. But I know this, if I'd have tangled with that skunk to kind of shoo him off, well, he'd have shooed me off for sure. Say, you didn't shoo it off? No way, Jose. You go shoo it off, I'm walking all the way around it. No desire, amen? You see, the key to all this is we have to stop doing right to start fighting wrong. We have to stop doing right to start fighting the devil. That's where the average Christian starts falling. When you stop to fight wrong and quit doing right to do it. God bless Brother Jerry Falwell. Back in the 60s and early 70s, Brother Falwell was as fundamental as you and I are. Brother Jerry Falwell decided he wanted to start his moral majority. Got involved in politics. And I hate to tell you this, but Dr. Falwell died a pretty sad man. His college went liberal. Had people that taught evolution, taught wrong doctrine in his college. I don't think personally he believed that way. But he'd let it get so far out of hand he could never bring it back. Just so you know. What happened? He stopped to fight the evil in politics, quit doing what he was supposed to do, let his guard down to do what he thought was a good work. By the way, it was a good thing, but he quit pastoring his church, quit building his church, quit preaching right in order to reach more people for his moral majority instead of for Jesus Christ. look what happened. I knew Brother Falwell a little bit, met him once. He called my home twice when I was a senior in college, or high school. Wanted me to go to his college. Told him where I was going. He said, what are you going to go there for? I said, because it's God. He said, what does that place have to offer you, son, that I don't? I said, God's will. I didn't know this at the time, but Jerry Falwell had nearly a photographic memory. He was a brilliant man. At Brother Hiles' funeral, he was there for the Friday evening service for the folks around the country. I thought, that's Brother Jerry. I walked over. I said, Brother Falwell, my name's Craig Bush. I'm one of Brother Hiles' assistant pastors. I said, thanks for being here. He said, Craig Bush. I said, yes, sir. He said, where are you from? He said, are you from Ohio? Now, wait a minute. It was 1985 when he called me. This is 2001. We're talking 16 years later. I said, yes, sir. He said, Canton? I said, yes, sir. He said, you're the young man that told me this is where you were going to college because it was God's will and I couldn't offer you God's will. He said, guess you're right. I was wrong. That's the last words I said to him almost. I was like, where'd that come from? He shook my hand. He said, thank you for following the will of God. He said, you proved you were right and I was wrong. Wow. Can I tell you something? Brother Falwell quit doing what he was supposed to do to fight the battle over here. I'm against abortion. Going to fight it with every tooth in my head. But I'm not going to stop pastoring church, stop soul winning to go protest at an abortion clinic. We're going to win more people to Christ, teach them what the Bible says to keep people from having abortions. That's God's way of doing it, not going to stand in front of there with a sign saying, don't do this. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Too many people want to stop the right to do battle with the wrong. Did you notice Nehemiah said, we're not going to stop the work to fight. We'll keep working and our God shall fight for us. Number two. By the way, Nehemiah said, I cannot come down for the work. Don't come down from the work of God to start fighting even against the devil. Number two, I am to love and follow God and let him fight with the devil for me. I am to love and follow God and let him fight the devil for me. Verse number 20, our God shall fight for us. Our God shall fight for us. Can I tell you something? God is a better fighter against the devil than you are. I'd rather, if I have my choice between fighting the devil and God fighting the devil, I'm going to let God do it, whoop up on him, hold him, and then say, hey, take your shot. But if he doesn't say, take your shot, I'm going to watch him whoop up on him and have a lot of fun while I'm doing it. You see, my job is to love God. My job is to obey that book right there. My job is to do what's inside the pages of that book right there and let God fight the battle for me. I'm not supposed to concern myself with the battle as much as I am obedience to God. In my obedience, watch this, God steps up and battles for me. When we stop and say, okay, God, I know I'm supposed to go soul winning. I know I'm supposed to do this, but the devil's coming after me. I'm going to stop that and come over here and fight. What do you think God says to you? Or how about the battle's coming and saying, God, man, I'm getting flack from all over, but I'm just going to keep on doing all I'm supposed to do for you. You know what God says? You just keep on coming some. I'll whoop up on them behind you. Don't worry. It's okay. I'll take care of it for you. You might get some of the residual flack, but it's going to be all right. I'll protect you. I'll fight for you. And Christian, let me tell you something. Quit coming down off the wall to fight the battle. Keep building and let God fight for you. Your obedience to God will step up God to battle for you. By the way, he may let the devil attack you as he did Job. So, well, I don't think that's very fair. God does. God thinks you're strong enough. God thinks you're going to be an example to help so many other people that he'll allow you to go through that. Now, not just because you have a battle, it's because God's allowing it. It may be that you're not letting him have control. But he's only going to be the only one that can whip him. Job could not beat the devil. Job was able to endure what the devil dished out, but he did not beat the devil. God beat him. It was Job's obedience to God that brought the victory, not Job fighting the devil. When the devil jumps on us, let's get closer to God and obey him more than we ever did. When the devil jumps on me, Brother Gus, I go soul winning. When the devil jumps on me, Brother Joe, I go help somebody. When the devil jumps on me, I spend more time in that book. When the devil jumps on me, I spend more time on my knees praying. Say, why? Because I've got to get closer to him, not fight the devil. Recently, the devil kind of took a couple shots at me. Called Brother Ron, said, Brother Ron, let's go. Said, what'd you do? We went soul winning, amen? Went to help some people. What was it? I'm busy, but I need to go spend a little more time obeying God than I did concentrating on a battle. Everybody doing okay? So many times we want to stand there and complain about our battle. Go do something for God and let him fight for you. I spend more time with God the more the devil jumps on me. A preacher friend of mine recently, he said, Brother Bush, he said, when you're in the battle, you find out who your friends are. I said, yeah, you find out who your friends are. I said, you also get to spend more time with God if you fight right. He said, that proves you're going to come through this one all right. He said, it's the guys I got to convince they got to spend more time with God. He said, I don't have to tell you nothing. I said, no, sir, been through this. Time to spend extra time with him. Isn't that what it's all about? Why do we want to spend time with the devil? I'd rather spend time with God than the devil any day. I'm not a fighter by nature. I'm really not. My mom, my dad will tell you, I'm not a fighter. I don't think I ever got but one fight in my life other than my brother. And usually, I would take it an awful lot from him before I did. I don't like fights. Now, I like watching boxing, but to me, that's not fighting. What do they call this stuff where they're in a ring and killing each other? Yeah, MMA or whatever they call it. I can't stand that stuff. Say why? That's just a bunch of idiots out there beating the snot out of each other. Then you got females, I guess, that do that stuff too. Good night. I didn't call them ladies because that's not a lady, amen? That bothers my spirit. I'm not one that puts up with arguing and fussing and feuding and fighting. I just won't do it. I don't like it. I don't like a lot of arguing. When the devil attacks, you're supposed to spend more time in church, not less time. You're supposed to spend more time in that book, not less time. You're supposed to spend more time obeying that book, not less time. The more you fight the devil, the less you're obeying that. Nehemiah said, I'm on the wall, I cannot come down, and our God shall fight for us as long as we keep doing what he commissioned us to do. And that's what our job is. So, number one, when I stop to fight the devil, I get messy. Number two, I'm to love and follow God and let him fight the devil for me. And number three, the closer to obeying God we are, the more we can hurt the devil. Did you know the best way to hurt the devil is to obey God? Did you know the people that got saved this week hurt the devil more than me stopping to try to fight him? Do you know people getting helped this morning and helped tonight by church? And people that are going to be closer to God because of what took place in this room and in junior church and in Sunday school classes all over this building today. God's more pleased with that, and the devil was hurt more by that than he would have been had I stopped to fight him this week. You see, the more you obey, and by the way, the more you obey him, the more you can hurt the devil. See, we hurt the devil because we are not his object. God is. When we slow down, that's when we become prey. It's kind of like the two guys out on the safari and the lion came chasing them. And the guide says, you can't outrun that thing. He said, nope, but I don't have to outrun him. So all I got to do is outrun you. I don't have to outrun the devil. I just got to stay close to Jesus. I'll be honest with you. When the attacks come, I want this church to pull together, not shatter apart. We're supposed to be together, not fussing and feuding with one another. Well, I just don't agree with so-and-so. Well, sit down, talk to him. If that doesn't work, come to me, both of you. We'll talk about it, and we'll find some common ground. Sometimes you just have to agree to disagree. Do you think I always agree with my wife? Yes. See how I did that, Brother Barnes? My wife and I don't always agree. I'll use something very silly about me. I'm colorblind. That's not very silly. That's very true. I'm horribly colorblind. I have a couple shirts that I wear. But every time I wear them, she'll say, and I'll say, okay, which one is this? I have one that I swear is brown. She says is green. I have one that's green. I swear is brown. And I'm not sure which is which. I'm to the point where I'm going to have her print tags on, you know, like the old Garanimals. It's getting that bad. I'll say, okay, you pick out the tie that goes with this shirt and this suit for me. She'll say, can we pick a different shirt? That means I got the wrong one. She does it very kindly. This one shirt, I promise you, every time I wear it under protest. I don't tell her that. Because I don't think it's the color it is. And it really, and I usually won't wear it on a Sunday morning because it's always in the back of my brain. Is this really matched? Does it? I mean, it's just there. Because I don't see it like everybody else does. But I've learned to trust her. Aren't you glad? There are days she'll say, honey, what's wrong? That doesn't match. And I'm pretty good at matching clothes, as long as I know what the colors are. Anymore, you don't have to worry about it. You know, the new style, check suit, polka dot shirt, and striped tie. And a show rag in your pocket that doesn't match any of the four. I don't know where these guys get up wearing that, but when a colorblind guy looks at it and goes, blah, all right, that's pretty bad. Now, what you don't understand is this. Colorblind people, camouflage doesn't work. I can pick out a guy in the woods that quick because I'm much better at patterns. She picks out color, I pick out pattern, we're in good shape. A colorblind person is more pattern-oriented than they are color-oriented. And I can see the difference in pattern a mile away. I can pick out deer because they don't blend in for me like they do everybody else. I see the movement and everything else. It's pretty cool until you got to pick out clothes. Then I got to trust somebody else. Now, wait a minute. Does my wife and I always agree? No, sometimes we have to agree to disagree on something. But may I say this? That doesn't mean just because she and I disagreed on something, we're supposed to go to divorce court and get divorced. Let's face it. Did you know that disagreement doesn't mean disillusionment? Everybody doing okay? I want our church to pull closer together to Jesus to obey God more. I'm going to leave early tomorrow morning with my wife. We'll drive up to see Brother Dingus. Spend about an hour with him. Go visit him. Why? He's been jumped on. I'm going to try to help pull him together. Not physically, but help hold him together and try to encourage him. Try to see if there's anything we can do to help him or his church or his wife or his children. My daughter is his daughter's roommate. I've known the Dinguses for a long time. Something I know about Mike Dingus you don't know. I was sitting at his church when Grace Baptist Church started. I was at a meal with him on a Sunday afternoon getting ready to go preach. And he said, Brother Bush, he said, we've been talking. He said, I'll be honest with you. I had you here. I was going to hire you. You were going to be my first full-time assistant pastor in 12 years. He said, but God's made it very clear you're supposed to go start a church. I said, I'm glad I didn't finish any more food. I was about sick at that point in time. I put my fork down and said, what? I didn't know any of that. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're supposed to go start a church. You got a burden for that area and those people. He said, what's holding you back? And I gave him three reasons. He shot all three of them down. Cross my heart, hope Brother Joe dies. I got back. I had to preach a sermon after that. Got back to my hotel room, and my wife called me. She said, honey, you'll never guess what the Lord just did for me today. Because she wasn't with me. She was here. She went to church. She said, preacher didn't even preach anything about this. And she'd been struggling with us starting a church. She said, but I told the Lord if that's what he wanted, he's got us. I said, okay, that's really scary. Less than 12 hours later, we started Grace Baptist Church. Don't you think I owe it to a brother Mike Dingus to go spend a little bit of time with him? It's not just because I want to drive 3 hours and 20 minutes to go see a friend. I just think it's that important. I'm not going to stop the battle. I'm going to try to keep a soldier going in the battle. Try to keep the battle going in his front as well as ours. Can I tell you something? I'm glad my friend Brother Gary Dice in Pittsville, Illinois didn't stop. He's had two heart attacks, two open heart surgeries. He's had 13 angioplasty things where they go through your main arteries and look into his heart. He's had stents. He's had stents inside of stents. He's had replacements for stents. They've done all they can do. He was in his pulpit this morning. Gasoline burns on his hands and his face. Buried one of his deacons this week that got stung by hornets. 44 years old and left four children. Wow, tough week. Yeah, tough week, but guess what? He got in his pulpit today and started preaching. Say, what was that? He stayed on the wall, kept working, let God fight for him. When the doctors told him there's nothing more we can do, he said, good, now it's all in God's hands. I don't have to pay your money anymore. Say, well, maybe his life will be cut short. Maybe, or he might outlast us all. I don't know. Can I tell you something? Let's not stop and get all dirty, smelly, and sulfuric, nasty, and depressed by fighting the devil. When old smutty face lifts his head, let's just focus on Jesus and the Word of God and church and the work of God, and let's just dig in and do a little bit more. Let's not get on Facebook and complain about what we didn't have and what happened here and what did that. Good night. Get your face in the book and get off Facebook. Sorry, I said it. You're not going to follow the church on Twitter. You're going to follow us here, amen? Because I'm not a bird that tweets. I might be a turkey that gobbles, but I'm not a bird that tweets, amen? Figured I might as well say it. It's so easy for us to get hurt when we fight. Do you know God's not going to hurt you just because you followed him? I'm just feeling all depressed, preacher. I've been doing battle. Yeah, doing battle will make you depressed. Quit fighting and start working. Quit fighting and start focusing on Jesus. Let God fight for you. You see, this is why God told us to turn the other cheek. He said, don't strike back. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. That's why he said, love your enemies. You say, why? Because God will take care of them. Trust me. I don't have anybody in this world I would consider my enemy. Now, I have people that hate my internal organs, and they may be an enemy to me, but I am not their enemy. Not one. There's not a human being on the face of the earth that couldn't walk through that door that I wouldn't reach out my hand and tell them I love them. I've had some people say some pretty nasty things, do some pretty nasty things. I wouldn't even begin to tell you some of the things that have happened in the last 26 years. Can I tell you something? I've met up with some of them weeks, days, months, years later, walked up, shook their hand, told them I've been praying for them. By the way, I didn't pray for God to kill them either. That's up to him to do what he wants. Who are you to ask God to judge somebody? That's wicked as the devil. Why don't you pray for the good? Turn the other cheek. Let God do with them as he deems necessary. The only one, by the way, can I tell you something? I read the book of Revelation again this week, and I read the end of the book. Guess what? I found out what happens to the devil. We already won the war. Let him fight his little skirmish along the way. How about we just obey God, reach every person we can reach, tell every person we can the truth, help every person along the way, and obey God, fall in love with God, be friends with God, pray, and get as many people into the house of God as a part of the family of God, and let him deal with the devil. As Nehemiah said, our God shall fight for us. I don't know about you, I'm done fighting the devil. I'm done. I'm just going to obey God. I'm going to let him do the fighting. I'm just going to do the obeying. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to obey and somebody wanted you to disobey? They were trying to convince you to disobey, but you decided you'd obey. They got in trouble and you didn't, and they got mad at you because you didn't get in trouble. But you weren't the one that disobeyed. Same is true with the devil. Same is true. I know good kids that paid attention to the person doing wrong and stopped doing right, end up doing wrong because they were following around the people that were doing wrong. If you don't want to smell like sulfur, quit fighting with the devil. You don't want to be depressed? You don't want to lie? Don't want to be in the mud pit of Hades? Then don't hang around it. Get closer to Jesus. Get closer to obeying him. Well, the devil just jumped on me. Good. When he jumped on you, carry him on your shoulders and go soul winning. He'll jump off in a hurry. Not long ago, I took a little shot, I thought, from the devil. I went out and won somebody to Christ. I was by myself. I got in my car. I drove down around the corner from where I won the person to Christ. I know I shouldn't have done this. I looked every which way. Didn't see anybody out. And I went, I beat you, devil. I was sitting in my car when I did it. I looked at God and I said, I obeyed you. I don't care what happens. I'm still going to obey you. I'm going to help more people. Guess what? As soon as I started witnessing, that devil was nowhere to be found. He was running and squalling, amen? So many of us, I wonder who's going to die and go to hell because we stopped to fight the devil. How about we just decide we're going to quit fighting the devil, we'll just start obeying Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope our church decides we're going to quit fighting the devil. I hope every member and every person in this room decides you'll never fight the devil again, you'll just obey God more.